All right, welcome back once again. New episode of The Murder Gymnastics, a wrestling podcast. My name is Collier, also known as Mr. Meanie, and over there, fresh out of WrestleMania, fresh out of wherever the hell he's located in tonight, it's my buddy Paul. How's it going, man?
Woo! Doing great. I became one of those people that I laugh at today, where, you know, it's the first sign of spring, and it's nice and beautiful outside and sunny. And what should you do when it's sunny out, Carl?
Stay inside? You should hide from the sun? Well, avoid it at all costs?
Or if you're like me and you're part Scottish, part Irish, and have a natural allergy to the sun, you should probably put on some sunscreen. The first sign of sun... And I'm pink. I've got a little bit of a sunburn because I'm like, oh, I'm going to sit in the sun.
This is an idiot. This is why Mr. Meanie's solution is way better. You just stay inside where it's dark. You close the curtains and you play Diablo 4 all goddamn day. That's right. I'm on staycation
so just
right
be
now.
Be a vampire.
I'm on staycation acting like a vampire. Acting like a teenage vampire.
Nice.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So cheers,
buddy. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Well, I'm off for 16 days from work, so it's a beautiful thing. And my beautiful wife is with me as well. And we're just we stocked up the fridge with food, and we're playing video games and hanging out with cats, and it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing.
That sounds lovely.
I can't get the X-Men 97 theme out of my head. It's just in there permanently. I love that cartoon, but it's that theme song. I just walk around the house. Da, 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 da. And I was even on TikTok today, and I'm scrolling through, and the Star Wars video starts, but the person that uploaded it had chosen the X-Men 97 music. So, boom, back in my head again, watching a Star Wars video. Da, 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 da. So, that's my TikTok. It's all Star Wars, wrestling, stand-up comedy, food videos, and my wife's shop. That's my whole TikTok.
Nice.
Yeah,
that sounds pretty good. I don't have a TikTok yet, so
of all the social medias,
one day I'll get there.
I think it's the best one because when you actually like things, it just gives you that. Like my whole TikTok, I scroll and it's just wrestling and Star Wars and heavy metal, and like it doesn't go and we're gonna throw a bunch of this crap at you. No, it's just the shit I like over and over because they want you on there all day. And it really is effective because I'm on there all the time. So good job, TikTok.
No, really.
Yeah.
I might have to try that.
Yeah. Cheers, buddy.
Cheers. What's in your glass?
Whiskey as always. You?
Mine's whiskey, but it's a little different. It's Jameson's cold brew. So it's Jameson's whiskey infused with cold brew coffee.
Yes.
It's delicious.
I've had it and it's fantastic. We had it last year. On our birthdays, and it's not something that I would get like back to back like as my regular drinker. It's so different, and like it's not fucking around with the taste. It's like it's cold brew with whiskey. The flavor is there, and it's as a treat. That was really nice. I liked it a lot. You're really nice.
Yes, it's really nice. Yeah, and that's exactly it. We've got a bottle usually always in the house, but it's not one that we go through quickly. It's just kind of like I haven't had a taste of that in a little bit. Time for a kick in the arse with some whiskey and coffee. And boy, does it do the job.
So I know we're going to get into wrestling eventually here, but because this is a wrestling podcast. But before we do, we were watching TV before I came here, and I was flipping around through the streaming services that we use, and I see NHL playoffs. And it occurred to me, I had to look to see if my favorite team qualified for the NHL playoffs. That's how different a world it is now in my zone of things, that my interest in hockey has been reduced to I wonder if my team made the playoffs. Like, wow, times have changed. Like my priorities have changed. I with all the wrestling I watch, there's just no time for being stressed out and pissed off about hockey. It's not even in my hemisphere anymore. So crazy.
I hear you. The last lockout broke me for hockey. I found other things to fill that void and never really got back. Like if the Devils or the Flames are in, because those are my two teams, I'll watch. Other than that, I kind of pay attention, but both teams are already eliminated. So I was looking at the matchups in the playoffs this year. I'm like, I don't really care one way or another.
No, like I said, wrestling's just more fun. Sorry, hockey. Yep. I have way more fun watching wrestling. So That's why we're going to talk about it this week, and that's why we're going to talk about WrestleMania, because it was an epic WrestleMania weekend. We both actually watched it, so we can actually both compare our notes. And I'm excited. We're going to save it. We'll save it till after we talk about the other stuff, because it'll be our big chunk for the episode. But as a spoiler, I fucking loved this year's WrestleMania. I had a great time.
Yep, as did I. It was nice to get back into the WrestleMania groove because it's been far too long for me. And it's one of those things you don't realize how much you miss it until you're back at it and you're like, why? Why did I ever stop watching this? Like, it's just, yeah, it was just a hell of a lot of fun. And this is actually the first time I've experienced a two-night WrestleMania. So that was something different when I was having to break it to my wife that, oh, I'm watching WrestleMania tonight. Well, didn't you watch that last night? Well, this is the second night.
I'm just watching it again. It was so good. I'm just gonna watch the whole
Just,
thing one
yeah,
more time.
so good. Yeah.
No, that's gonna be good. I look forward to talking about it. First, we'll just chat about some other stuff. Now I say that. It's not like I watched lots of other stuff because my life has been all WrestleMania all the time. But I did see some other things, and we might as well open talking about that elephant over there in my room with Tony Khan riding on it. Might as well start there.
Is he running his head into a wall?
What an interesting time it is to be a wrestling fan. There's so many interesting things to talk about. So
Yep.
I'm going to try not to sound super negative about AEW, because I love the wrestlers there. I really do. I'm a huge fan of the talent that works for that company. Do I like the company? I'm not sure, because Tony Khan and the other people in charge make some of the decisions that, oh my God, they just drive me crazy. So this whole CM Punk video thing was such a stupid thing to do. I think personally was a total waste of time. It was a total waste of airspace, of internet, people going crazy to then watch a video that was exactly how we already knew it happened. That's how I assumed it happened. Then CM Punk did an interview that said that's what happened, and then they show us a video that is that. What the fuck? Why did everything blow up for us to see exactly what we already knew happened? That's not news. And also, that has nothing to do with wrestling. That's not a good story. That doesn't help the Young Bucks. That doesn't help FTR. That doesn't help anyone. It actually shoots Edge in the butt for all that hard work Edge did the previous week. Because that was going to be my lead on AEW, was talking about that great promo that Edge did that made AEW look awesome. And then 7 days go by, and then Tony Khan flushes that all down the toilet by making it look terrible, like WCW 2001 bad. Like, God damn, Tony Khan, what are you doing? Jeez, it
Yeah,
annoys
I
it,
know.
it annoys me.
I guess I don't understand the benefit of it. Like, if
No.
you are going to play that tape, if you are going to play that footage, why would you not do that right after the incident to maybe explain why you let Phil go?
Right?
Okay, sure, that's fine. But at this point, it's been half a year and it's just kind of a pissing contest of CM Punk came out and said that, threw AEW under the bus, said Tony Khan wasn't a great leader and not the person to lead AEW. So then this is his childish
Right?
retaliation
Like,
to.
way to back it up. I was like, Jesus,
Yeah.
Tony.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't think it paints him in a very good light. And you're right. It does absolutely nothing other than really make them look like childish fools. Like
Yeah.
there's nothing to gain there.
It makes them look like they're led by someone that doesn't know what they're doing. And that doesn't instill people with a whole lot of confidence, right? It's like, this doesn't. If it boosted the ratings for one night, come on, we are way past the world of wrestling caring about the ratings of one show on one night. Like, WWE is moving to Netflix because they're not going to care about that crap anymore. Not going to care about sponsors and ratings. They're going to have, here's the, we know every people are watching, here it is, and watch it, right? This, anyway, it drives me nuts. And pay attention to what's that old expression, like, take care of your own house, stop worrying about what your neighbor is doing, worry, keep your own house in order, or whatever they say. Like, focus on your product, making great wrestling matches, write good stories, week by week, sell out shows, all that stuff. That's what you do. WWE doesn't give a shit about what AEW does. They don't think about it. Like, I know they think about it, but that's not their primary focus, and it shouldn't be AEW's focus. That's what WCW did, and that's why they went under. They wouldn't
Yeah.
focus on their own house. They would let things get so messy because they're constantly trying to react. Companies that react don't lead. Sorry.
Nope.
You're reacting. That doesn't work in any industry. So I'll get off
It's
this
not
subject,
long
but
term.
yeah, but it's just
It's
it's
not
oh.
long term. It just reminds me of what WCW did back in the day, where Eric
Yeah.
Bischoff would spoil WWE matches because they were taped and WCW was live. And okay, that short term gain and funny, but it also backfired when he mentioned a title change and
Yeah.
suddenly people were changing off of his channel to watch this title change. And I don't know. I agree with you. I think it's silly and I think it's short-sighted.
And we'll get to the positives. We'll leave the negatives behind. But the last thing I'm gonna say is the end result of this whole thing also had your crowd chanting the name of another wrestler that works for another company. So good job. Is that really the end result
Yeah.
you wanted? Was having CM Punk's name being chanted in your arena? That's come on, Tony Khan. Jesus. They need to hire
Be
someone.
better.
They need to hire somebody to do that job. He's the owner. Fucking own it. But just because you paid for a company doesn't mean you know anything. Just because you're a fan of wrestling doesn't mean you know wrestling and can manage and make it work. He needs to hire somebody. Like he needs a Triple H, a Shawn Michaels. He needs someone that is going to be in charge of the creative. Let someone that has done this before. And there's lots of great people out there that can guide a company and can make it work. He's not the man. Tony Khan should not be meddling. Guys like him and Billy Corgan, like they potentially ruin wrestling companies by interfering way too much. You got to hire good people and let them steer the ship. Anyway, that's it. I'll stop ranting, but that whole thing is so dumb. That's so dumb.
You're right. Like, I was so impressed with Edge's promo where he came out praising wrestling,
Oh, it's
and
great.
he mentioned WWE, and the fans started booing, and he shut that down right
Yes,
away, and he
I
said,
love
"No,
that.
you don't understand. You're missing the point of what
Yep.
I'm saying." And I thought, "Wow, that is fantastic. Like, enough of this tribalism. Just enjoy wrestling. Doesn't matter who you're
Yeah.
watching, what promotion, enjoy it." And
Yeah.
I love that. And I was like, that is a highlight for me. So
Yeah.
great way to kick off.
And we'll talk about that for a bit. That promo was so good. Something that I found fascinating about it was he started naming the things that he's watched and loved in the past. He says NWA and he gets a pop. He said Stampede Wrestling and the crowd was so quiet. And it made me think, is this something that's like it is in the past? And unless you know, like the average wrestling fan might know Bret Hart, but maybe they don't know Stampede Wrestling, that's where he came from. Because you could hear like some clapping from the crowd. I was like, and I'm like, yeah. Oh wow, I think people are forgetting Stu Hart's promotion. I think it's going away. So I thought that
Yeah.
was interesting. But yeah, that was a great promotion, a great promo. And then to stay on Adam Copeland, him and Cardona, yes, that
Oh
was
shit, yeah.
everything I love about wrestling was right there. The surprise of having Cardona show up. That's like the best thing in wrestling when you don't know someone's showing up, their music hits, and you're like, what? Like I popped so loud, it was so great. And he said it's the best moment of his career. I saw his Instagram post because he walked out and it wasn't like oh, who's this guy? Or, oh, it's that indie clown. People were chanting his name, singing along to his music. Like it was important that he was there. Oh, I felt so good for the guy. And then him and Edge had just a classic old school, I'll say Stampede Wrestling style wrestling match. It was slow, deliberate. I could hear the punches hitting each other. They tried some slow submission holds and yelling at the audience. And it was everything I love about wrestling. That was such a great match.
And a
Loved it.
great teacher versus student moment too, in
Oh
that
yeah,
like
good story.
this was
Yeah.
the dream match that Cardona has been waiting for, and he even said like he learned so much even losing that match. So yeah, it lived up to everything I hoped it would be.
Yeah, me too. Osprey versus Hobbs was a great match. I'm really glad
Yes.
I didn't catch all the show, but I did fast forward to see that one because I'd heard how good it was. And like good, you're fighting when you have a smaller guy fighting a giant guy, it should take a series of moves to put the big guy away. And I loved how he had to hit three, his two signatures and his finisher, like bam, 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 to get the three count. Like that's good writing and good execution, because it really made it seem like if he had just done the finisher, this guy's big enough, he's probably going to kick out. So he had to stun him and then hit another move. And then I was like, oh, that's such a great finish. I didn't see it coming. And wow, beautiful. Will
And it
Ospreay.
doesn't paint Hobbs in a negative light because he
Nope.
lost, right? Like he
Exactly.
seems like that force that Ospreay, who is like the hot commodity right now, had to throw everything at him in order to beat him, which is exactly what you want.
Exactly. Totally. So I did watch a collision. I don't remember much about it, but I did enjoy, I really enjoyed Lady Frost and Thunder Rosa. I thought that was a
Yes.
great match. Two of my favorite ladies. They both have such different styles. I wasn't sure if the styles would go together, and they really did. And I wish Lady Frost would get more of a push somewhere. Every time I see her, no matter what, federation she's wrestling in, she's always looks great, wrestles great, and typically loses. So I'd love to see her get success somewhere where she can become a name. But AEW, every time I've seen her, she's represented great, but I don't think I've seen her win yet. So.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen her win either, and I always have that hope too. I mean, against Thunder Rosa, I didn't expect her to win. I will
No.
say that it is great in that, like, I first saw her in NWA, and I was instantly mesmerized by her then. But even seeing the growth of her technique and her wrestling, even
Totally.
now, she's far better than she was back then, and she was impressive back then.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So I
You can
agree
yeah,
with you.
you
I'd love to
yeah.
see her become a main player somewhere.
You really see her gymnastics come out in the way she wrestles. She's so fluent, jumping off fluent. Fluid. She's fluent in all forms of yeah. No, she's it's 6 million forms of communication. Anyway, no Star Wars reference. No, when she comes off the top, she's so fluid with her movements, so graceful. She's very graceful in the air. I love that. So, that's about all the AEW action that I noted. You got any other things that jumped out at you?
Not really, just that Nigel continues to make me laugh every time he talks about the
Yeah.
clam digger. I
Oh yes.
mean, I can't say he hasn't influenced my perception of Bryan Danielson, but I laugh every time, and it's just hilarious. He just makes me chuckle every time. He's brilliant.
Oh
And
yeah.
then, yeah, just everything seems to be building towards Dynasty, which is coming up next weekend. So,
Yeah, I look forward to checking that out. I didn't see much TNA, so I don't have a whole lot I can contribute. I did see did I see, no, I saw that Cardona was, I believe, made an appearance.
he did.
With Jordynne Grace, I believe. So I need to some sort of like promo in the ring where she was smack talking, saying she not only had beat his lady but beat him too. I'm like, okay, I gotta see this promo, but I haven't seen it with my eyeballs yet. So
Yeah, actually, his cohort, and I'm really bad. I should have written it down, but I can't remember who the Queen of Death Matches is, but it's
yeah, I
the
forget her name too.
Yeah, but she was in a matchup to determine the number one contender against Jordynne Grace, and Cardona actually came in and delivered his radio silence against the last competitor in this match, and so therefore the Queen of the Death Match is won. And then yeah, last week there was a contract signing, and of course we all know how those goes. But actually, that match that determined the number one contender, it was really interesting. It's only the second time they've done this type of match, but they call it an 8-4-1 match. So
Oh,
it starts
okay.
as there's eight competitors, and it's comprised of two tag teams of four.
Yeah.
And once one of those teams is eliminated, the remaining four wrestlers on the winning team are then in a four-way to determine who the one winner is.
Oh, so you're together and then you're enemies. Oh, I like that
Yeah.
actually. That's fun.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. Like something I've never seen, a fun little wrinkle. So yeah, I thought that was awesome.
That makes me think of playing Double Dragon, and you're playing the whole game, the two of you fighting together. Then you get to the very end, and it's like, okay, now kill each other.
Which is really fun when your friend isn't expecting it, but you know what's coming and you just betray them.
Now, for you younger listeners, Double Dragon was a game from 35, 40 years ago in these places we had to go called arcades. So Yeah, I know that's an old man thing to say. I'm sure you could get Double Dragon on every emulator in every on every device anywhere in the world now. So, but I can't imagine some young player get putting down their controller of whatever amazing Final Fantasy game they're playing to pick up and play Double Dragon. Even now, I don't know if I'd want to play it now either. I'm not sure. Well, yeah, no, that's not true. I probably would.
I would, but
at least to try it, see if it stands the test of time. It probably
see if
doesn't.
it still holds.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I'm fairly current on TNA. I haven't finished last week's Impact. I think I still have the main event, which is PCO versus Khan, which I'm kind of done with that. I'm like, really, do we need to see
I
this
know.
again?
They love it
So,
though.
but
They love it.
oh
It's their
yeah,
favorite
they
thing.
do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, it's really solid. It's an enjoyable show. Like,
It
you know,
is.
maybe as far as, you know, 5-star matches, not the level of FTR by any means, but they've got their niche and they do so well with it. And there's so many performers there that I really like that I'm really glad that you kind of were the impetus to get me into watching it since they did the rebrand. So yeah,
That
it's a fun show every week.
and it gives us something extra to talk about, right?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah.
Just like NWA, we can talk about how we can't watch any of it. So I tried to watch the last three episodes and I can't get them anywhere. I can't even steal them. I cannot even pirate those
Nope.
episodes. Way to go. So,
Can't sail the high seas. I was
no.
really hoping when that resource that we have suddenly had a number of episodes, I thought, oh, this is great. This will be available on a more regular basis. Nope. I haven't. I think the most recent episode is from a month ago.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, it's a shame. Anyway, I'm gonna keep
yeah.
checking nostalgia-wise just every once in a while to see if magically I can watch a little of that NWA that we love so much. I have this like jean jacket covered in NWA pins that now I guess are just like collector's items since I don't even follow the product. So anyway, cheers to NWA, you bastards.
And I'm even wearing the hoodie tonight in honor
Ah,
of not
nice.
being able to watch it, I guess.
That's about all the other stuff I watched. I was obsessed with Mania. Do you got any other stuff outside of WWE that you want to talk about?
No, I think that covers all my relevant notes about everything. I mean, WrestleMania is the beast that needs to be talked about, so.
You know, like it was so, and I'm glad this was your first one because it was such an entertaining two-night show. Started Friday night with the Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame is interesting because Margo and I, we think that the Friday Night SmackDown show should end with the Slammy Awards instead of the Hall of Fame because the Slammy Awards are ridiculous and stupid, but that's the point. It's kind of funny and it's like fan voted, so you could have the audience, they feel like they've participated in the Slammy Awards, and you have all the wrestlers have been wrestling that night, so they would be there to accept their awards, and you could have the Slammy Awards then and then have the Hall of Fame ceremony on the Monday or whatever, like that after WrestleMania, because the Hall of Fame ceremony, like there's always one headliner that's awesome, and then the rest of it's a little dry. Like you're happy for these people, but it's not a real Hall of Fame. It's not like there's a bronze bust that they made that's going in some hall in some building you can go look at. None of this exists. It's imaginary. And then some of the speeches are, yeah, they go on a little long and get a little weird. Some of them were a little strange. And it's a long, it's 3 hours or yeah, 3 hours long, 2 hours long. It's a long show. No, it went to 1 in the morning. It was
Oh,
3 hours
wow.
long. Yeah. And
Oh,
but
boy.
you're there to watch Paul Heyman. That's why everyone tuned in. They put him out first, which was so smart. It was old Saturday night's main event, have the main event on first, because everyone's gonna be falling asleep by the end of the show. Like that was brilliant. We stuck around to the end, but really, it was just about that 1 hour Paul Heyman promo. I don't know if you saw the whole thing. If you
I
haven't,
didn't.
it is, you cannot watch a speech about wrestling that's better than what Paul Heyman did. It is just, it gets you fired up, it gets you teary, it gets you mad, it gets you excited. Like you see why he's the best at the best. It was, oh my God, it was so good. Constant, like talk about every rule that they would have established beforehand that he's not allowed to do. He did everything he was not allowed to do, said everything he could not say. There was so many people, the reactions of the people in the crowd were the best for the things he was saying. They show faces like, oh my God, did he just say, like, it was so good. Suck my fucking dick. You say that during a beautiful award ceremony. Him screaming, "Suck my fucking dick." It was like, oh my God, Paul Heyman. That is fantastic, man. It was so good.
I almost did a spit take.
It was so good. Yeah. So anyway, Paul Heyman, he's the king. The ECW chants were out. It was great to see him. He put on the leather coat and the hat and the headphones. He had the whole getup so he could get into his Paul E. Dangerously personality and a rip a promo that was his thank you speech. It was fantastic. Really good. Really enjoyable. So that led into the weekend. So I watched Stand and Deliver NXT on Saturday beforehand. Great pay-per-view. It always is. It's like it's that pay-per-view for them is like their sort of end of year. You're going to see titles change hands because you know people are going to be coming up to the main roster post-Mania. So it's sort of like a changing of the guard kind of pay-per-view usually. And it was in front of 15,000 fans, which is easily the biggest NXT crowd I've ever seen. And fucking banger. They put on a fucking great show. It was, I'm swearing a lot. Apparently, it was a good fucking show. It was a great NXT pay-per-view. I really enjoyed it. It was fantastic. And it led to a long 2 days of wrestling watching. In 21 hours in 2 days is how much wrestling we watched in this house.
Holy hell.
Yeah. Counting,
That's
counting,
impressive.
counting, documentaries and NXT and SmackDown, Hall of Fame, and 2 nights of WrestleMania. It was, yeah, it was awesome. We watched the Bray Wyatt documentary. We thought that would be a fun thing to watch before the night one. We thought it'd be fun to get real sad, cry a whole bunch. So, because, oh God, it's a great documentary, but once it hits that final 20 minutes, oh,
Oh no.
it's just devastatingly heartbreaking. Oh, they talk to all his most loved people and they talk about the moments that they found out about it. And it's just, you got
Oh.
to have a box of Kleenex there. It was, oh my God, what a tragedy. But because he was such an amazing performer, such an amazing brain for a wrestler to have, and to die in his 30s is just stupid. That's just not fair. The world sucks. So, night one, WrestleMania. So, I always hear people talking about like which night was better. And I think it's always unfair to say like, movie one in a series is better than movie two. It's all the same series. Talk about how good each one is. So night one was fun. It was a good time. I enjoyed it quite a bit. It was very bookended, I found, with the best matches, I think, were the opener with Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch. Banger. Just awesome. Fantastic way to start. Rhea gets sung out by her favorite band. The sound quality maybe wasn't great, but you're in an open air stadium. Like, what do you? I actually read people complaining about the sound quality of the band. I'm like, it's in the Eagles Stadium. Like, what do you? Like, that's not the point of that. Listen to, like, you could hear him singing. It's not like it was inaudible. Like, it's, yeah, it didn't sound, it wasn't 4K, surround sound because it's in an open air stadium. It was still cool. And she was, look how happy she was. That's the point. How happy was Rhea Ripley? You could see she was just bursting with excitement there. I'm bursting as I'm punching the microphone, pardon me. So yeah, great match. I thought that was an excellent way to start. Loved it.
Yeah, me too. And it's funny you talk about sound quality because I will come at night one from a completely different angle than night two, in that I watched night one at Bret the Hitman
Oh
Hart's
yeah,
bar,
that's
and good luck trying to hear
right.
any kind of, any kind of commentary, which I will say probably hurt one or two of the matches from somebody that doesn't
I
watch
could
it
see
all the
that. I
time
could see
and
that.
doesn't know the story.
Oh yeah.
So I would say that there's certain matches I wish and probably will go back and watch with commentary. So I cannot speak to sound quality because all I heard was the din of the bar around me. So I mean, amazing, amazing experience to be there and have actual wrestling people around. But yeah, I will not comment on sound quality for night
Oh,
one.
right, totally. You'd have to go back and get the sound qual get a commentating and atmosphere for the Sami Zayn and Gunther match because it was that match is awesome, but that match is all about the story. It's all about the it's very much a Rocky II story with Chad Gable being the Apollo in Rocky's corner. Was that Apollo? Is that Rocky II? No, that's Rocky. What movie was that? Rocky III. What movie am I talking about here? Where
I
Apollo was.
don't
Is that
know.
the Clubber Lang one, right? Yeah, because Mickey dies and Apollo has to go in Rocky's corner to beat Clubber Lang in Rocky III.
Oh,
Yeah, that's the third
Yes.
Rocky film. Clearly not a Rocky podcast. We don't know what we're talking about.
It's been a while.
If it doesn't, that's the one that had Hulk Hogan in it, right? Yes, Thunderlips. Yeah, see,
Yes.
tie it into some wrestling there.
There you go.
But yeah, Sami Zayn match was awesome. I loved it. I actually didn't think Sami was gonna win. Like I wanted Sami to win, but as the wrestling fan wants to write the shit himself, I didn't think he was gonna win. I thought that Gunther's reign was just gonna go like probably to the end of the year. I love that they had the upset, had him like, he really looked like he was gonna lose. Gunther was like laughing at him, sort of toying with him, being cocky and arrogant. I'm like, I love that when the big guy gets overconfident, and then the young, or not the young, the smaller, the average
The
Joe,
underdog.
yeah, the underdog
Yeah.
battles back and gets the win. I was so
Yeah.
happy for Sammy. Thought that was great. Thought that was
For
great.
me, that was actually the match of the night. Like, I loved the opener for sure. And the end match was a beast unto itself. But as far as my investment, yeah, this for me, for my money, was the match of the night.
I can agree with you on that. That was my match of the night too. I enjoyed, like, I thought the main event was actually a pleasant surprise because I was a little nervous about The Rock. I wasn't sure. It's been 8 years. He's twice the size it used to be. I wasn't like, could he still run? Could he? I didn't, I should have trusted The Rock more because he did. I think he did great. I didn't question for a second what he was doing. He was just a part of the match. He was one of the wrestlers. I didn't even blink. It was like 8 years hadn't gone by. So, and it was that, a little bit of the suspense of that match was gone because you knew that was how it was going to end. But there's no way that they
Yeah.
wouldn't have Bloodline rules the next night. Like they basically guaranteed that that was how it was going to end. But it was,
Yeah.
I thought it was effective to have Cody get pinned by The Rock. That was a good way to have it end because he can hold that over him now, and he already has. He already promoted him on Monday saying, yeah, you won that match. Congratulations. You beat Roman Reigns, but I beat you. And everyone's like, oh shit. So at some point we're getting Cody versus The Rock will happen during 2025, 2024 at some point. We know that's coming.
Yep, no, I agree.
The rest of night one was fun. There was lots of fun stuff, but the other matches were not quite as memorable, I'll say. There was still like, if I look at each match, there were lots of memorable stuff. And so, and I wouldn't say I disliked any of them. It's just those three were the real standouts from night one. And
Yeah.
like that, the six pack ladder match was just an excuse for crazy spots. And that's like, going in, that's what that match is about. Something, so without audio, it must have been confusing, the belt thing, because with audio, we didn't understand why the belts were hung separately, and they didn't
Yeah.
ever once tell us that it was for both belts, like that they could possibly separate. They said it was for the undisputed tag belts, and they were hanging separately.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, so if you go up and grab one, I was like, what's happening right now? So,
Yeah.
like,
Yeah.
I'm,
The only
I.
reason we clued in is the guy at the table next to us was chatting with us a little bit, and he knew and understood that. So once we
Ah,
saw
okay.
the first set of belts get pulled down, and we were like, wait, what? Then he explained it, and we're like, oh, okay. So yeah, I will say, if not for the guy next to us, we wouldn't have had any inkling as to
So
what was going on.
a little confusing, but having said that, I'm glad they split the titles up. It was time, and I'm so happy for Grayson Waller. We're a big fan of his, so we're glad that he got one set of the belts. And then Truth, man. Like, if they didn't give Truth a title after the year he's had, it would have been a tragedy. So I'm so happy that Triple H rewarded him with a championship at WrestleMania, his first big WrestleMania moment. And oh God, I love you, R-Truth. He tried to tag in to a ladder match. Like that joke never gets old. To see him standing there holding his hand out, and the Miz is like, dude, we don't have to tag. And then he just goes, all right, he's R-Truth. Yeah, here, tag. Like he just knows at some point he gotta just, and he's gonna go for the pin at some point. You know he's going to. Love you, Truth. On
I would
Raw.
say out of
Oh.
all the matches, the only one that really, I would say, really, really suffered from no commentary and no understanding of context was the Usos, because it
Ah,
just,
yeah.
if you just watch the match for the match, it was just a lot of super kicks.
A lot of super kicks.
So we were kind of like, Okay, like their facial acting was great, and I mean, I know enough of the story to understand that there's betrayal in there and whatnot, but yeah, missing the extra context and added drama from all the extra commentary, I would really wish I had that.
Yeah, I agree. It even with the commentary, it wasn't the strongest match of the night for sure. But the super kick thing was, it was kind of like their equivalent of like Gunther's slap, like the way they do slap battles. They wanted to do kick battles. So, and they do lots of super kicks. They're like the Young Bucks. Like that's kind of their signature move. So, but it doesn't mean, or it doesn't make for a very interesting in-ring battle. That whole thing was about them, the brothers, the relationship, the history, the eyes, what they were saying. You can hear what they were saying, and you could actually hear them mic'd up. Like you could hear what they were saying. So them talking to each other in the ring, it was passion and it was love and then betrayal, and it was well done. And yes, so the other matches on the card, so we had basically a great entrance, Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, and Naomi come out, talk about a WrestleMania entrance. Like they all looked fabulous. It was like Hollywood MCU superheroes. It was like, wow. And Kabuki Warriors, like the damage control come out, same thing. It was like, wow. Like just they had set up these amazing entrances. They were awesome. The match was fun too, but I don't really remember the match. It there was some spots, and you know, the right team won, I think, for that event. But that match was all about those entrances. I thought they looked great. It really showed off that the women's division is getting a major boost with Jade Cargill. It's already an amazing women's division, and now she is kind of like, hi, I'm here, gonna kick everyone's ass. It's like, oh boy. So that match, yeah, I don't really remember the match too well. I just remember how awesome both entrances were. They were just fantastic. And then the other match, what was the other match? See, not remember. Oh wait, hang on. The other match was Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio versus Rey Mysterio
Yes.
and Andrade. So that match would have been one of my matches of the weekend if it didn't have 90 people at ringside. My problem with that match was there was way too much shit happening with all the other people that took away from what was a really good luchador wrestling match. Like Andrade is special. That guy is a really special wrestler, and I hope that he gets a chance to really demonstrate it in WWE right now. I'm glad he's back because every move he did was perfect. Like I was watching him closely. When he's doing moves, the way he looks at the crowd, the way he finishes with his body posture, it's all fucking perfect. Everything, it's incredible. That guy is amazing. So I watched him. I loved everything he did. Dom always cracks me up, always hilarious. Takes a great bump. Dominic Mysterio takes a great bump. He gets punched in the face better than anybody out there. Ray's getting a little old, but he's still super fun to watch. And I love Santos Escobar. I like all four of those guys. But the match itself just there was just way too many other people in the ring that I think should have resulted in disqualifications or at least getting thrown out of the building. Like the referee needed to throw everybody out of the building, and we could have had the four of them just end with an excellent luchador match. It just was a little chaotic all the time. But if you could cut that all away, the match itself was terrific. Like I really enjoyed that luchador fight. I thought it was really good.
And then you ended up with the fuckery finish a little bit with the two Philadelphia Eagle guys, Jason Kelce and
Oh yeah, it's right.
the
I
old
actually
lineman
I forgot. I forgot.
coming out of the crowd.
Oh, that part, I forgot about that. I didn't hate that because it was very WrestleMania to do that. And it was very WrestleMania 2 specifically with football players being involved and just celebrity and celebrity pandering to the home crowd. It's wrestling. It'll always happen. AEW does it too. And I don't mind. It's it wasn't even, yeah, it wasn't a terrible finish, but it was not memorable because I forgot. I totally forgot about
Well,
that.
and I thought it was fun, and holy hell, it made the crowd pop because the world loves Jason Kelce, and Philly loves some Jason Kelce.
But if I can make a funny comment, my wife and I both had the exact same comment. Mask comes off, Jason Kelce. The other mask comes off, and we're like, oh, because it wasn't the other Kelce. It wasn't Taylor Swift's boyfriend. We were very sad that it wasn't Taylor Swift's boyfriend. That was a sorry to the other guy, I don't even know his name. Started to the other guy, but we wanted to be the Kelsey boys. We thought that would have been fucking amazing. So, kind of a bit of a bummer having Kelsey and Becca.
He's just some Pro Bowl offensive lineman. It
Right?
doesn't matter.
Exactly. It doesn't
Once again,
matter.
O-lineman. Once again, O-lineman get no respect.
No respect at all. So, night one, very good. Enjoyed it. Very good. But at that point of Mania, I wouldn't have said this is the greatest WrestleMania of all time. I would have said really fun night one. Enjoyed that. Totally worth watching. Was not underwhelmed. But then we went into night two, and whoo-hoo, ooh, did I enjoy night two? Let me tell you,
Oh, hell yeah.
that was one of the best WrestleMania cards I've watched would be that night two of WrestleMania. It was stacked. It was in order of the way they should have built that card right to the end. And boy, did it open with a bang. I was out of my seat. We were texting you and I, and I'm sending pictures back of me freaking out. That was such a great start because Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins, awesome match. I loved it. I thought it was great. Drew gets his WrestleMania moment, wins the title. Fantastic. We even have Phil at ringside. I'll call him CM Punk for the because in the story that's who he was. I didn't even hate him being there because it was perfect. He was annoying Drew McIntyre. He was annoying everyone. He was doing a good job. And for him to get involved at the end actually was really good. I actually really enjoyed him actively touching Drew McIntyre, throwing him down, hitting him with his brace. I'm like, oh shit. And they had me invested in that. The camera was focused right on that. That I wasn't. Ex I was telling you that watch out for Damien, watch out for the cash in. Nope, I had completely forgotten. So when that music hit, I was like, oh fuck. Like I literally, they got me by the balls. I'm like, yes, Damien comes down, cashes in. And so great story. I heard him interviewed that he ran by and hit Drew with the briefcase. And he did it so hard that the briefcase flew through the air and he thought he threw it into the crowd and had fucked up the whole thing. He turned around, he's like, I just ruined WrestleMania. I just ruined my life. And he turned around and it had hit the boards and bounced back in so he could pick it up. But he thought he had just ruined everything by flipping it into the audience. I love that. So
Oh, that's fantastic.
yeah, great, great moment. I loved it. Backstage, there's a great clip you can watch online of Undertaker coming back to congratulate Damien after he won. And he has a big hug and congratulates him and meets his family and congratulates them. And Damien's like, thank you, thank you. And then Undertaker walks away and Damien just looks at the camera. That was rolling, right? You got all that? It was like, please tell me you got all that. It was awesome. It was so good. Yeah. Great start. I thought that was just like to have two title changes in 5 minutes. Yes, this night two is rolling. Rolling.
Yeah.
It was
Oh yeah.
awesome.
Well, and they did say at the beginning of night one that this was a new era, and with all the titles changing hands up
My
to this
goodness.
point, they are definitely putting their stamp on a new era. And I agree, this
My
was a
goodness.
hell of a way
Yeah.
just to get you instantly invested in this
Oh.
night.
So my match of the night was actually Bayley and Io Sky, just because that one had a story that I loved. The damage control story was over the last 6 months. It was if the Bloodline hadn't been there, it would have been the best story in WWE. But the Bloodline story, obviously, it's the headlines, it's what everyone talks about. But this damage control story was fantastic with Bayley. It's her faction and she formed it. And then behind the scenes, she builds this faction that now wants her out. And then they kick her out of the faction. Like, it was really well done. And to have her win the Rumble and challenge the leader, like, it's just fuck, that's such a great wrestling story. And for her to win it and be so over. Did you hear that chant the crowd was doing? That football chant? So that's from a Bayley story like years ago. I can't believe those people remembered that chant. I didn't remember that chant. I had to Google it. I'm like, I don't remember. I don't know what these fans are doing. And both my wife and I were like, what are they doing? And I Googled them like, holy fuck, good job, guys. Like, way to pull something out of the far reaches of wrestling history there. That chant, Jesus.
I only knew about it because just by pure coincidence, earlier that day, my buddy that I had been at the bar with watching night one had sent me a clip of them of a I think
Ah,
they were in
nice.
Scotland that they were singing
Yeah.
to her, and
Yeah,
I
yeah.
don't know if that's where it started or that was just kind of like during that period that they just did that, but it was just so funny that then that ended up being a part of this night, and it just
Yeah.
made me smile.
Yeah, me too. It was great. Everything about the finish was fantastic in that match. My girl Io was so good. She's not done in WWE because she is so good. She's good at everything. She's the weirdest person. Her weird eyes and the weird way she looks at the camera. Like, I love it. She seems like out of control crazy at times, and I just love that gimmick she does. And she's so perfect with all her strikes, with all her flips, when she does her moonsault and doesn't look. And she does a moonsault and doesn't look and then gets countered. Like, she takes knees when she lands. That was a blind moonsault. Like, that's trust. That's confidence. That's guts. That's being a tough son of a bitch. It's like, yeah, I love you. She's got a bright future. That title loss is not something that does anything but put her over still. So.
Yeah, that was a super, super fun match. And yeah, she just has a very, very unique way of moving. And it's from her entrance on,
Yeah.
because my wife was sitting on the couch next to me and she was just looking at Bailey and like, okay, so this is an Egyptian versus this is she. I think her brain broke when she saw Io Sky.
Yeah.
Like,
Who's
she's
this
just kind
crazy?
of
Who's this
like,
crazy lady that's coming down?
I think it broke her brain a little bit.
Yeah, so good. So awesome. Love that match. Our guy LA Knight represented really well. So that match I was excited about. You can't go wrong with AJ Styles being at a Mania ever. He's always gonna be fantastic and put over whoever he's wrestling. So, and like, that was exactly what we needed for LA Knight there, because LA Knight I think is gonna have a good year. He's in like a sort of a tournament thing to be the first challenger for Cody. And so it's come down to a grudge match between AJ and LA Knight. The WrestleMania follow-up grudge match, winner fights Cody at Backlash. So great
Oh,
way
wow.
to, and I'm pretty sure AJ will win, because I can't imagine a babyface is the first battle they have for Cody, but maybe LA decides to get nasty and go heel. You never know, but I'm guessing it'll be AJ Styles. But I think LA Knight's gonna have a huge year, and that, yeah, I think that Mania match was just what he needed. It was not super long. It was just the right amount of time. They did just the right amount of moves. The crowd was totally into it. Yeah, it was just what I wanted to see from LA Knight. So it was great.
Yeah, I agree. Super fun match. Lots of good spots. Lots of good action. It's for me, not watching him every week. It was just nice to actually be able to see him on a huge stage
Yeah.
perform and nail it. That, like you said, that performance was everything you wanted it to be. Didn't disappoint at all.
Yeah. I enjoyed the Triple Threat United States match more than I thought I would, because they had that great story of Kevin Owens and Randy Orton being friends, but you're friends, but you're both going for the same title. So I thought they really played that well, as it's both of you against him, but sometimes us against each other. Like, it was,
Yeah.
I thought they did that a good, they did that well. It wasn't too annoying with the Prime sponsorship, because that's, yes, Prime's a sponsor, and yes, the bottle was in the middle of the ring. But it's all part of the joke, is that it's supposed to be annoying and he's supposed to be arrogant about his Prime sponsorship. And at some point, you're always going to have that sponsorship guy getting beat up by somebody, Randy Orton, putting him through a table. Oh, no, not putting him through a table. That table didn't budge. That
No.
RKO, I actually cringed a bit, because I'm pretty sure that table's probably supposed to go down. I don't, usually
Yeah.
the, right? Like, that thud
Yeah.
was like, ooh, that's just face on wood right there.
Yeah, that hurts worse than if the table actually does break.
Right, so that match was fun. I enjoyed it. Yeah, the big finish
Funny you
that.
mentioned the Prime sponsorship. One thing I did notice, and I mentioned to you, is that because I haven't watched WrestleMania for a while, I'm not used to the electronic like billboards around the
Oh
ring,
yeah.
and it was throwing me off night one how
Oh
the
shit,
electronic
yeah.
banners were the same color as the ring. And so there were times where it looked like in a tag match, like the main event, like Cody is just floating in midair in the middle of the ring.
Did you
It was,
notice? Did you notice
it
night
blew my
two
mind.
that was totally different? So I'm
Yes.
guarantee Triple H and the other producers were watching night one, and they were like, "We've made a terrible mistake here." Like, they probably had to contact the sponsors and go, "We're gonna change the colors, or we're gonna, like, white never should have been used. If you have white in the ring or off, it was kind of like a gray white."
Like a or a blue something, but it
Yeah.
was
But then they
too
matched it with
similar.
the, yeah, like, that was a big mistake. So They fixed that for whenever the main matches were happening on night two, it was a WrestleMania banner, and then the ad banners were the ones up above on the upper concourse and stuff, which made way
Yeah.
more sense. Way more sense. So yeah, that match was fun. What match am I forgetting here on night two? Before we talk the main event, there was another match, and I can't think of what it is right now because I'm Bully Ray being the guest referee for the
Oh,
Philadelphia
yes.
Street Fight. That's a match that I didn't think I was going to like, actually. I'm like, oh, this is going to be like a sloppy, weapons match.
Yeah.
But because they did that ECW flip, they made it all about Bully Ray and the Dudleys and ECW as kind of like almost like a tribute to Paul Heyman. It was awesome. I was laughing. I thought it was hilarious. They did all these spots, the let's up and headbutts to the balls, the go get the tables. Like, it was like that match was not too long. They really kept it short and sweet. Actually, and everyone looked awesome. Like the Karrion Kross's crew, we of course love that crew because they're all heavy metal looking, and Scarlett with her like her Road Warrior. It was themed after the Road Warriors because Paul Ellering, of course, managed the Road Warriors. And now he's there with them. She's got the spikes on the shoulders, the spikes on the bra. We're like, that outfit is kick ass. They're all just so badass looking. I think it's great. So, Bobby's team, they need a name if they're going to stay together because we hate that it's Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits. That just doesn't roll off the tongue. I wish they had like a faction name instead of just
Sounds
being.
like a 40s R&B group.
Right. It does sound like an R&B group, but that match was more fun than it should have been. It didn't get messy, and I actually ended up, it was just a part of that great night of wrestling. It fit right in. They had it early because I think it was the second match, while it was still bright out and people were still popping from seeing two title changes. So they went right into that quick little street fight, and being a Philly street fight, ECW from Philly. I know it just all it worked. They wrote that well. That was they squeezed that in. It was like 2 days before Mania is when that match was signed. But that
Oh,
feud is
wow.
at that feud's been going for 2 months or 3 months. So that wasn't a thrown together thing. It's just the actual match was they had kept obviously a one spot open to have it still on Raw on SmackDown, and then oh yeah, that's it. See you on Saturday or see you on Sunday, right? So it's a good way to do that. You should always keep one spot open at Mania for a last second, like, nah, we'll settle this on the
Yeah.
big stage at the
Yeah.
granddaddy of them all, Yeah.
And I agree with you. I'm not always the biggest fan of these match types, but this match knew what it was. It did a good amount of fan service. It was fun, and it didn't overstay its welcome. It
Oh.
was exactly the right length. So I had a lot of fun with this
That's the
one too.
key is the
And I
length of
always
it.
like seeing Bully Ray.
Oh, of course. Of course. And he kept that a secret because I listened to Busted Open every day and he never leaked it for a second that he was going to be involved in WrestleMania. So well done, Bully Ray. Yeah, the length of those matches, AEW's weapons matches can go a little long. And I know they love the spots and having everyone get their thing in, but 25 minutes or 30 minutes of that, I start to get real bored. So keep it under 15 and you can really tell a fun story. So, but of course that leaves the main event, which
Holy hell.
you're gonna close a show. Wow. Like it was an awesome match anyway. They gave Cody and Roman lots of time to just have a good match. Lots of, without before all the shenanigans started, there was just lots of fun moments and the crowd getting to do all the things they like to do. Big entrances. Before we entrances, Seth Rollins' entrance at the beginning.
Holy hell.
Holy hell. I could not believe that. Like, I don't know the Philly tradition. I don't know that parade, but I love that they did that, this famous Philadelphia parade. But wow, when it was circling the ring and Drew standing in the middle, I'm like, this is amazing. Like, I've never seen anything like that in my life. That was so cool. It might have, I don't know, I guess some people might not dig that. I can't imagine not liking that because I thought that was just wild.
That
Wild.
was like a Broadway production for a ring entrance. Like it was
Right?
absolutely amazing. And yeah, like you, I'm not familiar with the Philly tradition, but what a way to make an impression. And of course, of anybody, it's going to be Seth Rollins
Of
that nails
course.
that. Like it's just flamboyant, over the top statement, nailed it. Just chef's kiss.
And
Amazing.
he gets to wear what he wore because what he wears is always art. And it's like, wow. I was just like, Clap. I think that is just, yeah.
Bravo,
Only
bravo.
you could wear that one of a kind outfit. That is absolutely incredible. Becky's always, his wife's always like, damn it, you get the better entrance gear every time. Great. So, but yeah, that main event, once it, good, it was a great main event that just went off the rails. And it was like, holy sh it had holy shit moment after holy shit moment after holy shit moment. And it got to the point where you're just like, you're laughing because you're like, what else is gonna happen? Like, how can this possibly be happening? And like to see Cena and Rock in the ring together again made me so happy. Like, it was such a great moment. And do you ever get sick of hearing the gong and having Undertaker come out? Like, is that ever not
No.
the coolest? Like, and talk about like, I did not expect that at all. They sort of set it up
Nope.
that it was going to be Stone Cold. I'll be honest with you. Over the
Yeah.
last month, they were dropping little clues that it was going to be Stone Cold. And I think they did that on purpose so that you would not see Undertaker coming, like at all. And I mean literally, because it goes to black and comes up and there he is in the ring. I saw some funny videos of people that were recording in the stadium. So the lights down doesn't matter. You can still see everything. So you actually see the lights go
Yeah.
down. You see the Undertaker roll in. And so some people wouldn't want to have the curtain pulled back like that. I find it really amusing to watch how they put it all together. But
Yeah.
of course, you got to watch it live and you got to go blind and it's up and there's the Undertaker. Holy shit. And the fans are holy shitting. And then he grabs him, choke slams him. Holy shit. They both disappear. Like, oh my God, are you kidding me? Just awesome.
Yeah.
Just awesome. And actually, that was the best Jimmy and Jay moment of the weekend as well, was they were fighting out on the ramp up towards the entrance. And then Jay tackles Jimmy, like spears him off down into the crowd or whatever. I thought that was their best moment of WrestleMania. I thought that was really a great spot. I loved it.
Yeah, I thought so too. And yeah, just all the guest appearances in the main event, like that is something that it can only work in a WrestleMania level event.
Yeah.
And my wife and I were just laughing because she doesn't really watch anymore, but she watched back in the day, like the Attitude Era and everything. So she was laughing and she's like, the only thing this main event is missing is Stone Cold. Like, this is like a lot of people that I'm already used to seeing and everything. So yeah, it's super fun. And it didn't take away from the match either, right?
No,
Because
no.
done poorly, that could be the main focus of the match and just pull away from everything, the story you're trying to tell, but it didn't.
Yeah. And then by having that happen in the middle, or like say 2/3 in, we still had a match to finish and there was still 10 more minutes. And because last year they shocked us by having Cody lose, because I was stunned that Roman won last year. I could not believe Cody didn't win. That made it for the, and I know this is why they do this kind of thing, so that this year I actually never believed he was going to win. Even though I wanted him to win, every time he was going for his crossroads, I'm like, yeah, but the Tribal Chief's just going to kick out. Like, we've seen this. We already know that Roman's never going to lose this title. So they had me not quite believing it was going to happen, so that when that third hand hit the mat, I popped, because I'm like, holy shit, it actually happened. We watched Roman Reigns actually lose. And I loved the old school celebration of having the baby faces come down. Some people, that if they're new wrestling fans, might not have an understand the importance of that, but that's how it used to be in the 70s and the 80s. You'd have the baby faces would all pour out and they'd pick the hero up on their shoulders, because it was very much a us versus them, heroes versus villains in the locker room. That's just how things were. And so I thought that was great. It was seeing LA Knight out there, and Jimmy, or oh, no, sorry, Jey Uso was out there. It was just, I don't know, I thought that was, it added to the celebration. His wife is out there. I thought that was cool. So yeah, seeing Brandy out there. Yeah, it was, I guess there was even like an AEW guy in the ring. I don't
Oh,
know if you,
really?
yeah, someone who's under contract. So
Oh,
yeah.
no.
Yeah. Like, not a big name and not like a regular, but it made the Twitter with the circle face going, is this? People going, yep, it sure is.
Oh,
Okay, whoops.
that's funny. But it adds to that moment, like you said. Like it's always nice to see the moment, how it hits the person winning that championship for the first time. And
Totally.
this is a story that is beyond just Cody Rhodes, obviously, with the legacy of his father. And but seeing the locker room empty out, and they all seem genuinely happy for him
Totally.
too, right? Like, it lets you know how appreciated that guy is in the locker room and how much they love him, which adds to the moment even more, I think.
Agreed. Agreed. It was, yeah, awesome. Awesome way to end it. And it sets up so many fun stories and things they can have here in the new year. Funny on Monday. So the Monday Raw after Mania isn't necessarily the greatest Raw. It's because nobody really wrestles because everyone's beat to shit from this weekend of like no sleep and like just how chaotic the WrestleMania experience must be. So Raw is always about the new champions coming out and doing promos, lots of showboating your new hardware, and then trying to lay groundwork for where you're going to go with some new stories. But it opened with like a 45-minute Rock Cody promo that was really weird. And at one point, the Rock was like, "I want to hold your title. Could I hold it?" And the crowd's like, and Mark and I are like, "That's weird." And I was expecting Cody to say, "You can hold it when you beat me," or something like that, right? But because The Rock came out with his people's title, Cody says, "Well, let me hold yours." And so they do this awkward, like, it takes forever, and then they trade belts and they each hold each other's belt. And we're just sitting quietly watching it. And then the crowd had the moment of the night. They started the first ever, "This is awkward." Like, it was so perfectly timed because it was like, this is because Marg was like, "Yeah, that they're right. This is fucking awkward." Like, it was whoever wrote that. That was a mistake. It wasn't, it was just, it was a weird moment. Because then they gave the tails back to each other, and then that was nothing came from it. It was so strange. It was 10 minutes of my life that I don't get back. So it's really weird, but it was setting up The Rock at some point will fight Cody this year. That was pretty clear. He basically established that, well, I beat you, so, and I want that a lot. I'm sure that's what the I wanted to hold the title thing was, but it was just really strangely done. Cody should have rejected. I wouldn't have the champion hand over his title like that. It didn't make any sense to me. I thought that was a weird thing for them to have him do, but that's
And The
okay.
Rock has stolen titles before. He stole Stone Cold's title. Why would you hand
Exactly.
your title over to a known title felon?
It's to a known felon. Exactly. So, but yeah, it's a new year now. The April, the month of April is like the start of the new year for WWE once Mania is over. So there's who knows where it's gonna go. I have a theory about Drew McIntyre. We'll see if it plays out because the Clash at the Castle this year is in his home of Glasgow, Scotland.
Oh
So
boy.
in June, so he won his title, had his moment, and then had it stripped away from him. So I would not be surprised if he wins that belt back in that pay-per-view in June, whether it's CM Punk or Seth or Damian, whoever's got the title at the time, I wouldn't. That's kind of that's that they laid that out by saying it's in Scotland, and I'm like, oh, because he's gonna be. He was so over when he wrestled in the UK. They had a UK last year. Was in Liverpool or where the fuck? I don't remember where it was, but it was in England. And he was so over because the Brits are just crazy for if you're from Britain, we love you. This is going to be Scotland. This is going to be his home city, like his home country. They're going to go insane for him. So to me, that would be the perfect time. If you want to have a huge gate and a huge reaction and a huge pay-per-view numbers, I know they don't have pay-per-view numbers anymore for WWE, but you know what I mean? Subscription numbers. I think I wouldn't be surprised. Now, that doesn't mean it will happen. It probably won't because I speculate and it's usually wrong. That's because I'm not a professional writer for WWE, but yeah, we'll see. That's a hunch I have. We'll see if it plays out. Yeah, so it should be a really interesting year. Mania was great. I'm glad you enjoyed it, and I can't wait to do it all again next year. We can look at some more matches. I really want us to watch those crazy pandemic ones that you didn't get to see, the Boneyard Undertaker match, and then the one that Margo and I feel we're the only people that love. The Firefly Funhouse, John Cena and Bray Wyatt match, like the Fiend. It's the fucking weirdest thing you'll ever watch. So we gotta watch it next year. So you can see if you
I'm
like
up
it.
for yeah, I'm totally up for that. I thought the lead up to WrestleMania was super fun. It was fun visiting old matches that I knew and also being introduced to new classic matches for me that I hadn't seen. So yeah. And it was just nice to get back into the WrestleMania saddle because it's something that I used to love back in the day. And yeah, like I said earlier, didn't realize exactly how much I did miss it until night one. I was like, yeah, this is perfect.
Yeah, awesome. So yeah, Mania wrap up. I guess we can go to pushes and tap outs. Do you got any tap outs this week?
I have a few really quick ones. I mean, we touched on it earlier, so I'm not gonna, expand on it too much. Just, I just all this petty back and forth between promotions. You said it, like, keep your eye on your own house. Don't worry what the other person is doing. Like, it rarely works out in your favor. Mind your own business and just let it go. Be the bigger person, be the bigger promotion. Like that stuff, it just irritates me.
Yeah,
And
agreed.
the only other tap out I have is, and obviously I don't watch WWE, but in AEW, they love to give pushes to people that have no charisma, and they like to just build it up as mystery. And the latest person for this is Hook. It's like, oh my God, it's Hook. And he's got a symbol, the hook signal, like the bat signal. And you watch him, and he's fine in the ring, but he doesn't really have anything to say on the mic. And he
Yeah.
just, it's, and maybe those who have been watching his career ascend are invested, and he's better than what I've been given. But every time he shows up, they make a big deal out of him. I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? Why do I don't care about this guy, but they make a big deal out of it. So yeah, just I'm over the push of the guy that either can't work the mic or has no charisma, but he's gonna get the push of a lifetime because he's mysterious. I'm like, no, the only mystery is why he's getting the push.
You know, that is one advantage WWE has over AEW with having a developmental brand, having NXT, is when they're usually doing that push, it's because someone is coming up from NXT. So you've already established them with fans. You've already established them as being someone that you want to push with promos. And like it, when they bring someone in like as a free agent, it's really not as common. It's like Cody Rhodes shows up or Andrade shows up. When Jade Cargill shows up, you don't have to go, well, who's this person? Do we care about them? It's like it's already an attraction when it happens. And then when the unknowns are showing up, it's always from NXT where they've already kind of laid the groundwork for who they are. So they can go, oh, it's Ilya, because this week on Raw, Ilya Dragunov walks out, NXT champion, and you know, 3/4, 80% of that building is not going to know who he is, but 20% of the crowd was singing his theme, and I was like,
Oh, wow.
yes, because I'm a huge fan of his. And that's the kind of like, it's a mini push, just kind of introducing him to everyone. Hey, there's this guy. And then Roxanne Perez, the women's champion from NXT, comes out. So they obviously were hyping up NXT after Stand and Deliver, but showing this crowd, this huge crowd on Monday, most people won't know these two, but you know they're NXT, you know they're both NXT champions. So there's your the advantage over who's this Hook guy. Like, you know, having developmental allows you to develop them, get them in people's eyes already, some of the fans. And then when you bring them to the show, it's not a out of nowhere, but we're somehow making them sound like they're already like a challenger for the title. And you're like,
Yeah.
how is that possible? I don't even know who you are. You're terrible on the mic.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Who are your tap outs, or do you have any?
Mania was so good that I didn't want to have one. And fucking Tony Khan had to go and ruin that. So I have one
Oh,
tap out
yes.
and it's TK. It's Tony Khan. I'm just sick of him getting involved and doing stupid shit. AEW is great. The wrestlers are awesome. They have great matches. So I'm not trashing the product. I just Tony Khan, I've had enough of. I think I found him annoying from day one. I think that's great that he bought them. Or that his dad bought them, and it's great that he financially invests and all that stuff, but just stay out of it. Just keep your little nose out of it. I don't think you're good at the stuff you're trying to do. So just leave it up to the professionals that know what they're doing. So that's my only tap out. TK.
Amen.
So what about
I
pushes for
can.
you?
For me, pushes are Matt Cardona. I mean, always
Yeah.
been a fan of this guy, and then he appears in both TNA and AEW and has an impact and actually matters in both. It's not just an appearance for appearance sake. So it's always great to see him. And being in two brands that I'm really enjoying, it's just great. So that and just WrestleMania. It was just so
WrestleMania.
fun. Two nights of just fun. How about you?
Yeah, I'll second that WrestleMania push because it hypes itself as the granddaddy of them all, and I get so excited every year, but it never lets me down. So it's super fun. It's something that is getting better. This new regime, the Paul Levesque era, Levesque, Paul, the Triple H era is it's just it, WWE's never been better than this, in my opinion. The storytelling's never been better, and yeah, they're just rolling. They are fucking rolling. So it's super fun to watch. Glad you could see it. My pushes, other than that, Adam Copeland, just the things he's doing at his age in AEW, he's as entertaining as anybody. His promos are great. They're so honest. What I love about his promos, it's just him and he's just talking. And he's kind of always done this, but earlier in his career, obviously, he'd be doing more scripted ideas and things. Now he's just allowed to just like talk like Adam Copeland, a Canadian wrestling nerd. And I love the Cope Challenge, the Cope Open. I love the matches, him and Cardona, him and Christian. It's just everything Edge is doing. I'll call him Edge because that just happens. Everything Adam's doing is fantastic. So that's my first push. And the other one is Ilya Dragunov, because I think he's going to be a star in WWE. He's small and crazy. And I think he's going to surprise. People are not going to expect how good and realistic the shit he does, and the amount of the beating he can take that he obviously wants. He's a little Darby Allin in that way. He loves to take a pounding, not the dangerous, like high falls that Darby does, just the punches and slaps and kicks and just like be, if it requires blood or bruising, he'll take it. He doesn't seem to care. And yeah, he's just so fun to watch. I can't wait to see what he does. He's not a big guy, so we'll see how. I don't know if, as far as WWE title contention, I don't know if he's big enough for that, but he'll turn some heads when he gets on the main roster. It's gonna be fun. So yeah, I love wrestling. I love WrestleMania.
Me too. Super fun.
Okay, well, it's time to wrap things up. Huge thanks to all the listeners that joined us this week. Don't forget to subscribe and download the episode in your podcast app of choice. Every little bit helps us. Spotify users, you can now interact directly with the podcast in-app as we add Q&As and polls for every episode, so check those out. And we even try and read out your responses, so let us have them. And you can now reach the podcast on Instagram at Murder Gymnastics Pod. I try and post daily, so pop on over for fun memes, pics, and videos. And of course, Paul, if people got nothing going on, what should they do?
Go watch some wrestling! Yeah!